Chapter 2
He hated waiting. He was the king of Itani, dammit. Even as an angry curse was about to fly from his mouth, he calmed himself. This was merely a nuisance. Let her pretend to be a queen, he thought to himself. She can flit about and trade and gossip. She was but a fleeting thought in the minds of foppish nobles. He sat in his high-backed, ornately carved chair and waited. The chair was heavy oak and had the great lion of Itani carved into it. While his expression remained passive, inside his irritation was growing, expressed only in his unconscious tapping of one finger on the table. He looked around the room for the 100th time. It was a reflex. Defeat found the unwary. Thick candles hung from the walls in simple iron holders. Even the chandelier, which had a place of prominence in the room, was utilitarian. Black iron may not be fit for a king, but weighty matters did not find answers in a room decorated with popinjays.
"Good news, Your Highness. The people are celebrating in the street,"
she announced.
"The farmers are producing more, the smiths and craftsmen are working double, and everyone is cheering because of the end of slavery."
She kept her eyes locked on his to gauge his reaction. She continued,
"I hear that the soldiers are even asking for extra practice. They are preparing as though they have wanted this their whole lives. Can you imagine what Itani will be when we are ready?"
The last was not a question. It was simply a confirmation that her plans were working to perfection. It was hard to judge her age. There was an ancient wisdom in her eyes that contradicted her smooth skin and youthful looks. Although his pride would not allow him to be attracted to her, he still had to admit she was beautiful. She changed her hairstyle almost as often as she changed gowns. Doni had suspected she did it just so she could measure how quickly the noble ladies would imitate her latest fashion. Her dress was designed to appear modest, but revealed her striking figure that every man in Itani lusted after. Her blue eyes were big and engaging. They gave her the look of someone who was far younger than what she claimed as her 26th year. She flounced into a chair that was usually occupied by the most accomplished of his generals. Her upturned button nose and her full pouty lips made him think of a whimsical noble girl whose greatest threat was causing a scene during a ball. Donius had seen her act this way before. He had also seen her appear and act as regally as any queen twice her age. Her commanding presence was enough to intimidate even the most experienced field commanders. He had even seen her act wantonly with some of his soldiers. It wasn't what she wore or what she said individually. She simply could change herself.
"Yes, freeing the slaves was the best thing. The people now rally to serve the nation. Long subjugated family and friends are returned to their lives. You must not have known how fearful your subjects were of the slaver's yoke."
He sighed with resignation. It was an argument in which he had participated many times. He chose to ignore the more complicated economic argument of nationalizing personal property. Very few citizens truly realized that even unsavory parts of the economy were necessary. He chose instead the more simplistic moral argument. Slavery is a part of society. It is a tool to keep order and keep the wretched fed. It is neither good nor evil. Should we let people die? Should we let the great capital of Itani be filled with human refuse?
"Humans do not choose to be refuse, Your Highness."
"Do not insult me by thinking I will believe your witchy lies. I am not a commoner to believe I only have to follow you to my dreams. I am the king," he said, with an icy calm that so many found unnerving. When she did not respond, King Donius of Itani continued on in a voice that sounded like a scholarly lecture. "People make choices every day. If the consequence of those choices is poverty, then they must accept that. That is the law."
"And that leads them to the slavers?"
Her question was a mocking jab at him. How he had let this woman who, to him, acted like his daughter, gain so much influence in his kingdom bothered him. Still, he had reasons to keep her around and happy. He exhaled. "You know as well as I do that no one is given to the slavers without good cause. What would you have the good citizens of Itani do? Pay their taxes only to house prisoners who do not work? Should the citizens see their taxes go to those who make poor choices? You know well enough that slavery is good for Itani. It is a good deterrent. Any potential cutpurse who sees the eyes of a slave will keep his knife to himself."
"But what about the slaves?"
"The slaves are no longer citizens. They gave up that right when they could not meet their obligation to the family and to Itani. Sloth cannot be tolerated. The fear of falling into slavery motivates those who would be lazy. Greed motivates those citizens who work hard for their family. It is a good system. You cruelly fill their heads with dreams that figs and plums will fall from the tree without being harvested.
My good king, I have no love for slavery.
No, honored regent, you have no love for anything that is not you. How dare you presume to preach the ethics of slavery? What do you call my daughter? Does she not follow you blindly like a slave?
My most noble king,
she cooed in a sensually mocking voice.
I see no change since I have helped you rule this kingdom. They follow me because they love me. They are free to choose their own fate.
He let the hold on his boiling emotion slip. You vile witch! You have bespelled my daughter, and you think you have stolen my kingdom! He said the last as if it were more than a personal offense, as if he could think no worse evil.
Have caution, your highness. You would not want your daughter to hear of us bickering. Your daughter is at the difficult stage with which many youths struggle. She does not know what to believe. Many parents have lost their children due to lack of patience. Fret not. She sees me as a guide. She trusts me. Without me, I fear you may lose her.